Barcelona is so popular with tourists, and for good reason. Situated in the heart of Catalonia, this trendy Spanish city beckons travelers with its lively streets, tapas dining scene, Art Nouveau architecture, and beautiful Mediterranean beaches. And don't forget Gaudí. But Barcelona's mass tourist appeal has drawn criticism and backlash from locals in recent years. But that doesn't stop people from continuing to visit the Catalan capital and the surrounding region. Here to update us on Barcelona and Catalonia is Spanish tour guide Jesus Ruiz. Jesus, tell me your name in a good Spanish accent.
You know, it's Jesus Ruiz. It's, well, first of all, thank you for having me here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that my name has all the hard and
I was
going to
say,
sounds.
It's like there's letters and sounds and percussion. It's the whole percussion section in your mouth.
Exactly. So you have it right there when you want to pronounce Spanish.
So we have like, yeah. It's like Jesus Ruiz.
Exactly.
Now, and how would you say that in Spanish?
Jesus Ruiz.
Let's go to Barcelona. Decided to live in Barcelona. What is it? It's very popular with tourists, but for a local person, why did you choose to live in Barcelona?
Well, for many reasons. I had been, I started being a guide when we had the Olympic Games in Barcelona. Yeah. I had been to Barcelona before, but there was something special about that city that
was more than
me.
30 years ago.
Yes.
So you must have been a young guy. And it was a big deal. I remember there were special books out. Barcelona.
Goodness.
It was the new beginning of Barcelona. And it was also Visca Catalunya.
Oh, Visca Catalunya. Yes.
But this was after Franco, so you could wave the Catalunian flag.
Absolutely. Yeah. Franco died in 1975. And until that, you better not with that Catalan flag, because otherwise you were in trouble.
So let's talk about that, because that is interesting. And just on my first visits to Spain when I was a student, it was before 1975, and Spain was under a fascist dictatorship.
Oh, yeah.
Franco is from the class of Mussolini and Hitler, and Salazar in Portugal. And Catalonian people have an indelible spirit. I mean, there's a big, strong national pride, but they could not speak the Catalan language.
Yeah.
They couldn't dance the Catalan dances. They couldn't wave the Catalonian flag.
No, they could not. They were risking to be being arrested.
Yeah.
You were doing it.
I understand you could wave the Catalan soccer team flag.
Yeah, the Barça, the Barcelona. But that's how the Barça, we say Barça for Barcelona soccer team, became also kind of like a national pride. I mean, not national, Catalan pride, I should say.
Catalan pride, yeah.
Catalan
that's
pride.
What we should remember is if you ask somebody who lives in Barcelona, what country do you live in?
Obviously, Spain. Spain is divided into 17 different regions or autonomous communities, and Catalonia is one of them, located in the northeast of Spain.
But some people could be loyal to the identity of Catalonian.
Absolutely.
More than Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
So Catalan is distinct from Spain. Tell me a little bit about the language and the culture that is different from what we think of as Spanish.
Well, obviously, Catalonia is part of Spain, and we have there a lot of things that are very similar, but at the same time, very many things that they are very different. Sometimes some of the traditions of the language, it's a little bit closer to French, because obviously we are very close to the Pyrenees, very close to France, and sometimes closer to Spanish as far as the language is concerned. I mean, Catalan is a Latin language.
I had that sense when I'm in Barcelona, it's like halfway culturally between Madrid and Paris.
Exactly.
The language, the culture, the joy of life, the elegance.
Elegance, exactly. Actually, when you're walking, especially in the Eixample, the new part of town that we call the enlargement of the city, that we call Eixample, right by the main square of the city, along Paseo de Gracia, it looks very French.
When I was in Barcelona a long time ago, I said, so you're a region of Spain. He goes, no, we're not a region of Spain. We are a nation without a state.
Exactly.
That was the phrase. We are a nation without a state. It's the nationality of the Catalonian people that happened to be in the modern political entity of Spain. And it's a complicated thing because most Catalonians, they don't want to be turn their back entirely on Spain. They just want to be respected for their autonomy. But to see the practicality and the brotherhood of being part of Spain. Tell me a little bit about that struggle, because when you have a plebiscite, it's yes or no, independence or
not independence. But it's too bad there's not more gradients in that.
Exactly. It's very complex, the situation that we have in Catalonia right now. We have to go back to the Middle Ages. Obviously, we don't have time to be talking about this, but it's because when the Iberian Peninsula was divided into a mosaic of different kingdoms, one of those kingdoms was Aragon. Catalonia was part, I mean, the counties that had for Catalonia was part of that kingdom. Two of the most powerful kingdoms, Aragon and Castile, they united because there was a wedding there, Isabel and Fernando, right? And it all comes with that. They united, but they remained being kind of like independent.
They were united by marriage.
By marriage in this time. I mean,
and that plants the seeds of perhaps future problems.
Exactly.
Because the people didn't do that marriage. Their king or their queen did. And that was the choice that generations later saddles these people with the fact that the capital city and the king is in Madrid.
Exactly.
Jesus Ruiz is our guide to visiting Barcelona and the Catalan region of northeast Spain right now on Travel with Rick Steves. When he's not leading tours, Jesus divides his time between his home in Barcelona and his birthplace of Segovia. He's a tour guide who earned a doctorate in Madrid studying the history and characteristics of the English language. You'll find more about Barcelona at ricksteves.com. Jesus, when we're talking about Catalonian independence, Spain has had a long history of separatist groups. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Madrid, two of the industrial powerhouses of their country are Basque Country and Catalonia.
Exactly.
So they can't just cut away some backward corner of the country. This is the industrial heartland. This is the Ruhr Valley or the Detroit and the industrial center of Spain. And it happens to be in corners of the country where people have different loyalties and different language and different heritage, Basque and Catalonia. So Catalan knows that it has plenty of power, plenty of options, plenty of pride. They've had a difficult time with Franco and the fascism period. Mm-hmm. And now there's this question going on. Tell us the latest on this issue, because you're probably a typical Catalonian, you know, a Spaniard who has moved in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because being born, especially in Castile, because, you know, there was always the problem between the central government, which is in Castile, I mean, in
Madrid.
Madrid, obviously, and Catalonia. But anyway, the latest one, well, there's still a big debate right now going on. And we had elections in Catalonia. And it's very interesting because for the very first time in many years, let's say the winner party is not an independentist
really?
Party.
Really? Okay. So it's a loyalist.
Exactly. So they're now trying to make a coalition with some of the independents. So it's quite difficult. But the good thing, Rick, nowadays is that they are sitting down and talking, they didn't some years ago. So.
Very important. And I think this is a very important thing to stress. The tourist might see demonstrators on the street mm-hmm. corner that are kind of angry and extremist and waving their Catalonian flag. Mm-hmm. But if you ask the typical Catalonian, do you want to break away from Madrid entirely? They would say no. What they want is more autonomy, more ability to make the things that make sense to be deliberated in their region from Barcelona, not from Madrid.
Exactly. One of the very important things that it's something that the Basque country has nowadays is their own fiscal system, pretty much. I mean, maybe it won't be the same one, but something similar. And this is very good for Catalonia.
Hey, when we're going to Barcelona, what, as a tour guide, what are a couple of the essential sites? Just in 1 minute, can you give me a description of what are we doing in Barcelona?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much to see. And the great thing about Barcelona is the contrasts. I love architecture, history, art, languages, and everything. You can find all that in Barcelona just by walking down the old town. That you have all the...
That's the Gothic quarter?
Exactly.
So it's Gothic everywhere you look?
Gothic.
On top of Roman ruins?
And on top of Roman ruins, we take our groups over there to see this amazing part of the town. But right there, we had the main square, and that's where the old medieval city walls used to be. And right by it, we have all these wonderful Art Nouveau, we say modernist buildings.
Modernist would be, that's modernismo is
exactly.
The, like Jugendstil would be the German word for Art Nouveau.
Exactly.
And that would be the art of around what, about 1900 or something like that.
Exactly, late 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. Yeah. And that's where we had those wonderful buildings
What I love about Art Nouveau in Barcelona, it's architects that most Americans don't know the name. And there's several architects that are really important, but only one has an easy name to say, Gaudí, Antonio Gaudí.
Exactly.
But tell me very clearly so I can hear the names, three important modernist architects.
Well, it's Domènech Muntaner. And Puig Cadafal. It's true. They are difficult. Maybe, I mean, they were all geniuses. They were all wonderful architects, but Gaudí got the, how would you say?
He was a good promoter, I think.
He had
to raise money to do the Sagrada Familia.
Oh, yes.
So he knew how to finish one facade early so he could have a home show and bring in the potential supporters, and he did a good job of that, I think.
It's amazing, Rick, because obviously the icon of Barcelona is this incredible temple, the Sagrada Familia. We say expiatory temple, so it's a temple that belongs to everyone, right?
And we're helping pay for it.
Absolutely.
You got to fund these things. It's not like in the Middle Ages when everybody gave all their money to the church.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to help pay for it. So you can complain about the high cost to see the Sagrada Familia Church, which I think is one of the most breathtaking churches, places of worship in Europe.
Amazing.
And we're helping finish it. Gaudí, I believe, died in 1926.
Exactly, 1926.
And now, 2026, the centennial of his death.
Yes.
The hope is to get it finished, or what's the plan?
I don't think so. The problem is because of COVID, there were a couple of years there that there was not much work and obviously no income.
Because they were on track to get it done for the centennial of Gaudí's
death. Exactly. They wanted to celebrate the 100 years. So.
But it is consecrated where you can go to a mass there and worshiping going on, and it is the most organic modern church architecture. There's something about it. You feel like you're in a holy jungle.
Totally. I love that. Holy jungle.
You can use that.
I love it. And it's also the colors, depending on the time of the day that you are there and you're walking through.
It's like the sun shining through a canopy in the jungle.
Yeah. Yes.
And these organic columns go up the top and they sprout like a palm tree.
Exactly.
Our guide to the distinctive sites of Barcelona and the surrounding Catalan region of Spain is Jesus Ruiz, right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Jesus, there's a crowding problem in Barcelona because your city is so darn fun and beautiful and attractive. Everybody's going there. It's trendy now, isn't it?
We all want to be there. Yes. I think it's happened in some other cities in other parts of the world, right? But Barcelona, you know, it's right by the Mediterranean. It's a great city. You have all these great monuments and sites and everything. And the
great food, a love of life, dancing in the streets. You know.
And dancing in the streets. And we like to make these human castles that we call the human castles and everything.
If you're in tourism, you say, well, these are the people who butter my bread, you know. These are the people that come and help me pay my bills, and because they stay in the hotels, they eat at the restaurants, and they buy our souvenirs, and they take our tours. But if you're not in tourism, you think sometimes, hey, this is my city, and now it's been given to the tourists.
Right. We had some problems in the past with some demonstrations. I have to tell you that I was a bit embarrassed, not because of the demonstrations, right, because some of the locals were complaining about is just... we have that problem that because of the massive tourism, some of the prices of the apartments to live for the locals, it's impossible. So they have to go away.
And that becomes a vicious cycle because it drives away the people who live in the Gothic Quarter, for example, or who live along the Ramblas.
Exactly.
And then there's no more basis for local businesses. So all the business morph from serving local residents to serving tourists who are visiting. And then what was a cute district with an honest-to-goodness culture and community and and commerce, it becomes sort of a la-la land for tourists.
Absolutely. And I still recommend, you know, that you do come to Barcelona to visit us because, yes, there are crowds, but, you know, we always can find that some of those narrow streets and beautiful areas that you can enjoy. So please,
Jesus, it's such a delight talking to you. And if we could just finish, cap it off for our conversation with one advice from you over how, as we visit Barcelona, knowing we're going to line up with all the other tourists to see the famous sites, but if we want to do one thing that distinguishes our trip so that we have a beautiful moment, an intimate moment with the local culture, how would you do that and where would you do that?
I always recommend my groups because obviously they want to see the big sites. I always recommend to go to one of the neighborhoods like Gracia or my neighborhood, which is called Poblenou. Uh-huh. Poblenou is the area where we had the textile industry, the factories in Barcelona, and now they've renovated it for the Olympic Games in 1992. I love the atmosphere there because it's a mix of the locals, the elderly couples that go for a paseo, for a stroll, and then some of the newcomers, like people, young kids from other parts of Europe or other parts of the world, they come to work there in this district.
And so and that's where you live. What is the name of that district?
Poblenou. Poblenou, it's in Catalan. Literally translated means the new town.
The new town, okay.
It's the new town that they built outside of the city walls of Barcelona.
Is it near the harbor?
It's very near the beach.
Yeah, we also have because that's a grid plan. If you look at it, it's a checkerboard grid.
Exactly.
So if you look at a very strict checkerboard street plan near the water, that would be Poblenou where you're talking about. And if you look for a little higgly-piggly break in the grid plan of the Eixample, that is the old village of Gracia that you mentioned.
Exactly.
And then you can see by looking at the map, you've got this one medieval tangle of lanes, and then there's been a rising tide of structure and rigidity in these, checkerboard street plan of the Eixample. In the middle of that was the town that was there before the Eixample.
Exactly.
And that's Gracia, and Gracia has that characteristic of a small town.
Absolutely. It used to be a small town, and now it's one of the neighborhoods.
Survived. Right? Yeah,
it's
as a neighborhood. Jesus Ruiz. Jesus Ruiz.
Muy bien.
I was going to say gracias, but in Catalan?
Moltas gracias. It's very similar.
Oh,
you can say,
you
can either say moltas gracias is thank you very much, right? You can either say gracias or merci.
Merci, that's right. Merci. That's that French connection. That's what I remember. When I'm in Catalan, I say merci,
merci.
The French version. And also when I want to say I love this place, I say visca Catalunya.
Visca Catalunya.
Hey, thanks so much. And we'll see you in Barcelona.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Some of our Travel with Rick Steves listeners like to tell us about their travels in the form of a haiku poem. Here's a few interesting ones they've recently sent us.
Sherry Seetaler from La Jolla, California, tells us that a journey with her 14-and-a-half-year-old Vizsla Mix rescue dog named Ruby inspired this haiku. Ruby has accompanied Sherry for more than 20,000 miles over the years, but now she needs some accommodation in the form of a big, classy dog stroller, in which she's reported to ride with the greatest of dignity. Old dog's chariot, noble in your last travels, like Cleopatra. Carla Richmond of Bellingham, Washington, had a bird's eye view on a famous island in the Bay of Naples. On Capri's chairlift, feet grazing tops of vineyards, wine futures below. And Richard Cross from Arlington, Texas, tells us about an impulse purchase he made while in Italy. Visit Modena, see the Maserati shop, bring back a red one.